All right. Greetings, everybody. I am with my brothers and sisters online and some in person. And I want to bring today, we're going to start a new verse-by-verse series. And as a body, this is exciting. All of God's Word is exciting, but this one may be a little bit special exciting because of the days we live in. We are going to be going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. And it's going to be an amazing experience. Now, I'm not putting great partiality on one part of God's Word over another, but Revelation has a lot to say about where the world's going and the ultimate outcome of the world and the kingdom of God. So it's extra special because look at the times we're living in. Israel is at the center of the world politics. They're surrounded. We see so many things coming out to play in Scripture. So I think it's really timely that we're going to study through the book of Revelation. We prepare our lives and other people listening and other saints for the last days, for man's rule on earth to come to an end, for Christ to return, and for the kingdom of God to come onto the new heaven and the new earth. What a glorious thing that we get to think about. So before we start, before we just jump into chapter 1, verse 1, I want to lay a few points down that will help us as we go through the book of Revelation. And I think they're really needed here. So I just want to cover, I think I have 6 points here I want to cover. First of all, as usual, we're going to go meticulously slow to unpack the Word of God. We're not rushing through this. I don't know how long it's going to take us, but we're going slow. We're going to get all we can get out of this. So that was my first point. So be patient here. Number two, I'm going to attempt to teach on what I believe is dogmatic doctrine, instruction, and truth from the book of Revelation, what is clear in Scripture. And then I'm also going to be careful that we do not go too far and go where we should not go. Now, I want to be clear here. I'm going to sometimes offer some possibilities of what something could be, but I will make a note and say I can't be dogmatic here because I don't want to speak authoritatively on something that we cannot know, do not know for sure, lest we be called what? Foolish. Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. I've heard a lot of men proclaim a lot of foolish things regarding the book of Revelation, and I'm going to guard myself. That's not going to be me, Lord willing. Point number three, this book and man's focus on it is often corrupted by those who endeavor to study it, to make themselves popular. They make money off of it, whatever their motive is. And I just want to go on record to tell everybody when we start this, this is not primarily a book that's about war, death, wrath, signs, Antichrist, and the number 666. No, it's not. That's in there, but that's not primarily what it's about. It is a writing from God, and it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ, who basically that the entire Bible is about. And these first verses we're going to cover are going to reveal that to us. Our focus on this study is going to be Jesus Christ, His rule, His promises to His people. And check out at don'tperish.com. Go to my teaching blog and look up the promises of Revelation. My brother Zelos is also doing the promises of the entire New Testament. He'll have a reading of the promises of the book of Revelation at followgospel.com. But go read those promises or listen to those promises from the book of Revelation. They're awesome and you'll be greatly edified. It's not a book that glorifies Satan and evil and war. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. We're going to get to that. We're going to focus. And that is what the Word of God is going to take us about to in this study. Point number four, we need to note this. This book is promising a blessing to those who seek its truth. So we're going to attempt to do that. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they which hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written thereof, for the time is at hand. So we're promised a blessing by doing what we're doing, and we know it glorifies God, so we're going to do it. And point number five, keep in mind, this kind of goes along with the other point I made, some things are symbolic, some things are literal. Knowing the difference and knowing where we maybe can't know for sure is going to be the real challenge as we do this book of Revelation study. So we're going to have to make sure that we walk that middle line of the narrow road and don't go off into any kind of ditches. And my last point, number six, there's a warning about this book. It actually shows up in the book of Deuteronomy too. But here in this book, at the last chapter, there's a warning to not add and don't take away from this book. So we need to, I need to, very cautiously tread here. Revelation 22, 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. There is a promise for you right there, and it's not a good one. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So that's a promise from our Heavenly Father, so we must be careful not to add or take away. So that was my 6 points. It'll be important to remember those. Maybe once in a while I'll refresh us on those. We'll see as we go through this study. And then the last thing before we get right into the study, just a brief history. I'll let you go and do a deeper history study on the history of the book of Revelation. Basically, I'm just going to tell you a few short things. This book was written by John, disciple of Jesus Christ. It was written from the Isle of Patmos. And we know this is true, not just from history. Revelation 1:9. I, John, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So that seems to line up with history. Patmos is an isle among the Greek isles. And now this is history, but it says it was known as a prison place. They would send people there that were going to be put into prison. And so per history, most scholars believe John was sent there to be a prisoner. And also history, I'll keep trying to note that whenever I bring up these points, it says that John was persecuted. Some historians wrote that he was boiled in oil. Yeah, but he didn't die. And scripture says then he was sent there to the Isle of Patmos, or he was on Patmos. We just read that. And I guess we can assume that he went there and perhaps died there an old man. Scripture doesn't tell us that, but we have no other record. And John was a very old man at this time, so it may be safe to assume John died on the Isle of Patmos, so we have no record of his death. And most scholars, again, this is history, not biblical dogmatic statement. Most people, most scholars believe it was written about 95 AD, in there two or three years. And so it was many decades after Christ had rose from the grave. So I'm not going to go any deeper on that. You can look into that on your own, the history, if you want to go dig into that. I'm also not going to talk about or go into the many suggestions, false claims about this futuristic book. Many people call it a futuristic book. But we're just going to go through it verse by verse. We're going to try our best to discern truth found in its pages. And we're not going to put man's ideas and additions like I talked about. There's a danger in that. We're not going to twist scripture. That's so common, especially with the book of Revelation. It's probably the most written about book. I can't prove that, but boy, by my history of looking at Bible, before I was born again, I used to look at a lot of other false teachers, and I think people have written more about the book of Revelation than anything in my experience. And they wrote guides on it, they do conferences on it, whole studies, they're selling all kinds of things on it, and it's usually very twisted and leaves the truth of God's word, so we're not going to get involved in a lot of the some of it is even conspiracy theory, all of that. We're going to stick to what Scripture is going to tell us. So let's go forth and unpack this book, verse by verse, for God's glory and for our own edification. With that said, let's go right to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay, so let's take a look at verse 1. So it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. As I said, this book, is all about Christ. All right, many people have magnified Satan's role and magnified war and magnified this, and all of that is in there. But primarily, this book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ, as is the entire Holy Scriptures. Let me show you what I mean. The Bible itself starts with this revelation. We'll talk about revelation, what revelation means in a minute. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Okay, so we know this was Jesus Christ. How do we know that? A lot of people don't make that connection. A lot of people think of God in the Old Testament, Jesus only in the New Testament when he appeared in human form. No, John 1 tells us, John 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So there you go. Genesis 1, it talks about Jesus Christ, the Creator. So the very first words in the Bible are about Jesus. I'm going to tell you that the last words in the Bible are about Jesus. Revelation 22, 20 through 21. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So I just showed you the beginning of the book is about Jesus. I can promise you the middle is all about Jesus, all the archetypes of him to come and then him coming. And so it's all about him. And my brothers will testify that I often say this. You want to solve every problem. You want to describe things. You want to find truth. You want to heal, you want to help, you want to judge, you want to discern. It's all about two words, Jesus Christ. So this study is going to show us that. And right there in the beginning, it tells us the revelation of Jesus Christ. His name, Jesus, in Hebrew, means Yeshua. It means salvation, brethren. That's a glorious thing. And then the word revelation, it means disclosure. Appearing, coming, lightning, manifestation, to be revealed, laying bare, making naked. I like this, a disclosure of truth. We know from John 14:6, Christ is the truth. And so, and it also means appearance. So revelation, interesting description of that word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you look at a similar word in our English language, apocalypse, you look at the Greek word, it's close to this word, apocalypse. You know, they've been Hollywood movies about all this stuff. Most people lift up, as I said, war, death, Satan, hell, all that stuff. And it is in there. But it mainly is the revelation, the disclosure, right? The revealing of the glory, the victory of Jesus Christ for eternity over death, sin, and hell, and his promises to his people. So remember that, the revelation, this is all about Jesus Christ. And then verse 1 says, which God gave to him. God, the word is theos. It means deity, supreme. We would know that, us Bible-believing Bereans, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says, the Father gave to Christ to reveal to his servants. In this day, in this case, it would be to John. Jesus was given what by the Father? Power. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So this is what we're seeing here. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ and the power of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 goes on and says, to show unto his servants these things, which must shortly come to pass. All right, let's look at this word servant. I talk about this a lot. Doulos in the Greek, it means slaves. We are bond slaves to Christ. That means we willingly serve him as servants, but we're slaves to his will. We want to do his will. And I love that. If you look at more deeper meaning of the word doulos, it means you put down your own desires to do that of your master's. I love that, just the way that describes that. So he's a servant, and that word show means to give evidence or proof of. And then it says, shortly to come to pass. That Greek word is tekos. It means a brief space quickly. So this revelation is shortly to come to pass. Now, I've street witnessed and I've had people say to me, oh, don't tell me about that. That happened 2,000 years ago. He still hasn't come. Yeah, he's never going to come. That's just a bunch of nonsense. Well, 2,000 years is a long time to us. But if we are viewing God's word through who God is, that's how we should properly define God's word. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So if you think about it, in God's time, it's only been 2 days that he's been gone. If a day is as 1,000 years, so short span, he is going to return as he promised. And then verse 1 also says this, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That word signified, to indicate, to give a sign, to make known. All right, so God wanted to give a sign and make known to man, his servants, the servants of Christ, what was to come. That's what the revelation is all about. And this is a key point we all have to remember. The Bible was written for man to know the truth of God. God doesn't need the Holy Scriptures. A lot of times we can confuse ourselves thinking, oh, God wrote it in a language for himself. God doesn't need the Scriptures. Okay? The Bible is written for man's understanding of who God is. So that's very important. It's aimed at man. We need to read it that way. We need to discern it that way. And then we can get to the truth via the Holy Spirit. And then verse 1 said, by his angel. All right. We're going to cover a lot of controversial topics in the book of Revelation. Here's probably our first one. This is very controversial. Many false teachers, mostly modern pastors and other evangelical type teachers, teach a false theology that says this angel was a human pastor. I don't know if you've heard this or not, but it is fairly popular, that a real man came to John to give him this revelation. And they often say it's a bishop, it's a modern pastor over that body or that area. And they try to pass that off in various ways. But I think you're going to see that when we go deeper into this study, and I'll try to show it here in Revelation, you're going to see that that's not true. That word angel, angelos, it means messenger, envoy, one who is sent, an angel, a messenger of God. I'm just going to say right here, I think I can be dogmatic in what I believe. I think it seems clear to me that God sent a messenger, a supernatural angel, to tell and show John the things that were to come and what was to be recorded in the book of Revelation. And that was a work of God. Because we see angels in the book of Revelation doing many things. Supernatural angels doing many things, not just a messenger that could be a man. We'll get to that in a minute. Revelation 16:4 is an example. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of the waters, and they became blood. That's not a mere man. So exclusively, the work of the angels in the book of Revelation is supernatural angels. Same word there is used, angelos. These false teachers, as I said, we'll try to tell you it was a bishop over these churches. But another practical reason why that can't be true is they'll say that it was like one pastor over the churches. In the New Testament model, go see Titus 1 verse 5, Paul always had multiple elders ordained in each local city. There was not one man. That's a Roman Catholic type model. One bishop, one man over region of believers. So that doesn't fit to the biblical model. Also, over 70 times, as I mentioned, we see angels working in the book of Revelation, and it's supernatural angels, God's supernatural angels, not mere men as messengers. I need to put a note in here. It's very rare, but it does happen, that men in the Bible are called that word angelos, angels, as was done here about John the Baptist. There's not very many times at all. Of the hundreds of times angel is used, not very often, but here we have one. Matthew 11:10. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger, King James translates it messenger, not angel, before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. John preparing the way for the Lord. I won't go into the deeper Greek, but most of the times in the, well, not most times, all the time in the King James, that word is translated messenger, because they're saying in the Greek, there's a deeper meaning that leads towards describing a man, not a supernatural angel. But Revelation, as we're gonna see as we study through it verse by verse, you're gonna see the context is very, very different. 175 times in the New Testament, the word angel is used, and rarely ever is it used to describe a man. I gave you one. Most times, it's a supernatural angel. So I think in context, here, it helps us to see that angels in the book of Revelation by context are the supernatural beings. They're messengers of God doing his bidding during this time period. And this isn't hard to believe because there's various descriptions of angels in the Bible. Angels have duties, and we know that they see what goes on here on earth, and they're active. Ready? 1 Corinthians 4:9. For I think that God has set forth us as apostles, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Yeah, the angels see what's going on. 1 Corinthians 11:10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And 1 Peter 1:12. Unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which the things the angels desire to look into. So angels have a very, very important role with the Father. And it's very clear to me that this is a supernatural angel that came to John, not a pastor, as these false teachers say. I think another simpler point, maybe this one's got some real legs to it, maybe not, you decide. I think it's odd to think that a human pastor would be with John or go to John. Why? Well, we simply know that he was on this aisle. It seems to be it was an aisle for prisoners, and it seems highly more likely that a supernatural angel came to John than some traveling pastor to go see him while he was in jail. Also, Revelation 1:10 shows us that John had a supernatural thing happen to him. Ready? Revelation 1:10. We'll get to that when we get to 1:10. But it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So John has a supernatural event going on that would work perfectly with an angel being used by the Father to relay a message. By the way, the Lord's Day, that's not Sunday there. We'll get into that when we get to verse 10. That is not Sunday. Sunday is not the Lord's Day. So God most often used supernatural angels. I think the book of Revelation shows that. And that's how it was revealed to John. I wanted to cover that because that is a famous, famous false teaching. I think we can conclude that the angel here is not a man. It's a supernatural messenger of God. And I do have a teaching on that. Don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog. Look up that the angel in Revelation was not a man. Moving on to verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. All right, so remember the kind of preamble I did before all this, talking about what's the main point of this book? To bear record of God's word and Christ's testimony. The angel and John are doing this by proclaiming then recording this holy writing called the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. To bear record, martyro. It means to witness, to give testimony to. The Word of God is very, very active on witness and giving testimony. And the Word of God, logos, that is who and what the Word of God is. First of all, what the Word of God is, Mark 7:13, making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition. So we have the written Word of God that we all live by per Matthew 4:4 and Jesus. And then probably for our study, even more importantly, who. So we have what the Word of God is, it's written, then we have who the Word of God is. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the one only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Yeah, Jesus Christ is the Word of God made flesh. I read those verses to you about in the book of John earlier as well. And I'll take you back again. I think we're going to be doing this a few times. We'll be going back through the Bible. In this case, I've gone to Genesis once already. I'm going to go there again. Notice in Genesis how the very creation was performed. God said his word. Ready? Genesis chapter 1, verses 3, 6, 9, 11, and 14. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his own kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and for seasons, for days and for years. I love that. God said, by God's word, Jesus Christ, were all things created. Revelation is all about Jesus Christ. So this book that we're going to be studying through is really telling us much about Christ, his return. He's going to reclaim the Father's creation. We already know what he did at the stake, the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection, by which we come to faith. Through repentance, we're born of God's Spirit, and we turn away from every false way to walk in holiness and obedience, and we endure to the end. The Revelation, we'll get to that, talks about he who overcomes, right, is going to enter into the city, the eternal city. And so this whole Revelation is about the gospel, the creation that Jesus is going to come and retake. He's going to purge out everything that's not of the Father, death, sin, evil. And all of those promises I mentioned are going to be fulfilled for his people. And so that's something we can look forward to. I think for this study, I'm going to leave it right there because I did a lot on the setup. I'm going to leave it at verses 1 and verses 2. That tell of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And this is going to help us keep our foundation on what this book is all about. We're not going to get lost in the minutiae of small details. We're going to keep our eyes focused on Christ, his glorious victory, his return, the new heavens, the new earth, and how he vanquishes finally and puts all things under subjection, puts away evil, and there'll be no more pain, no more tears. And what a glorious thing is going to happen at that marriage supper of the Lamb. So I hope that blessed you today. We'll keep studying through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We'll start at verse 3 next time. Don't know how long we'll get. I'm going to take it real slow. Bit by bit, piece by piece, precept by precept, concept on concept. And we're going to put this thing together for the glory of God and to edify the brethren. So thanks for listening in. Check out don'tperish.com, all the resources. Check out my brother's website, followgospel.com. We're all brothers and sisters out preaching the gospel every day, telling the good news of Christ till he comes. Love you all. Till next time. God be praised.